Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. First chapter. That's Haggai, chapter 1, commencing to read at the verse number 7. Haggai, chapter 1, verse 7. We follow the reading of God's precious and His infallible word. It's a word from God. A word to challenge to our hearts that we have already looked at it. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I will blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn, upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon all that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men and upon cattle, and upon all the labours of the hand. And then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. We end our reading there. We know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible word. Let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer, please. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today once again that we gather round thy precious word. We want to hear your voice. I want to hear thee speak to our hearts, and thou knowest, our God, just exactly what thou hast to say to us. And we pray today that we might, O God, not only hear but heed the good and precious word of our living God. We thank thee that thou art the God of heaven and earth. We thank thee that thou art the God supreme, almighty, sovereign in all things. And we thank thee that thou art fulfilling thy purpose. And we bless thee that thou hast said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. O God, bless us as a people as we wait in thy presence, and speak to us in Jesus' precious and Jesus' lovely name, and for his glory. Amen. As we were studying these opening verses of this book of Haggai, we saw how that God had to come amongst his people, and how that God had to not only speak to his people, but how God stepped in and brought discipline upon his people. And of course, he asks the question, brings it before them, why was God doing this? And sometimes in our lives, we ask that same question, why? And perhaps we don't know the answer, and perhaps we are waiting for the answer, because as yet God hasn't revealed the reason why. But then God, here in this passage of God's word, he poses the question, why? Because God's people had not asked it. And you notice in verse number 9, it says, ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. And then God says, why? Why? Why is God doing this? Maybe you're asking the question, why is God allowing this situation in my life? Why is this happening to me? And you stand on the maze. Well, God didn't leave these people without the answer. God pointed the question. He said, why, saith the Lord of hosts? And then he says, because of mine house that is waste. That's the reason why. That's why that I've had to step in. That's why I am bringing discipline upon my people. God says, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore. Now God says, it's because of this. He says, this is what I'm doing. And God says, verse 10, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. Now, and we notice here, even in these verses here, verses 10 and 11, God says in verse 11, I call for a drought
upon the land and upon the mountains, upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon the ground that bringeth forth, and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. You say, well, listen, certainly God is God's discipline here. God's working in a very mighty way here. And yet, when I see this passage of God's word, and yes, God is disciplining them. Yes, God is teaching them a lesson for them, but God's merciful here. I see the mercy of God here. I see the patience of God, because let me tell you what God didn't do. Yes, we know what God did, but I'll tell you what God could have done. God could have sent them back to captivity. God could have brought an army in upon them, and God could have scattered them. God could have seen the army come in and scatter the people because they had disobeyed God. But God didn't do that. God was merciful to them. Maybe sometimes whenever these things are happening in your life, then perhaps you say there's something going wrong here. God, why? And maybe your heart's breaking. Say, God, why is this happening to me? Let me tell you, friend, think of how merciful God is to you. Think of how patient God is. Way that God is moving in your life, because God did not send in the rod of a foreign army or even send them back to captivity for correction. But you know what God did? God took the correction into his own hands. Notice what it says. God says, verse 10, therefore the heaven over you stayed from dew, and the earth stayed from her fruit, and I called for a drought upon the land. God says, listen, I'm taking this whole thing, because he's the God of heaven. He's the God of earth. He's the God who could send the dew, or the God who could stop the dew falling. Yes, he is the God who's in absolutely control. And God said, I'm taking your correction into mine own hand. Now the corn, when they sowed the corn, friend, and they looked upon what was happening there in the field, it promised a plentiful harvest. But then the dew didn't fall. And because the dew didn't fall from heaven, friend, let me tell you, that was an important thing for the harvest. Therefore, because the dew didn't fall, the ears of corn didn't fill out properly. So instead of getting a plentiful harvest, it was indeed a harvest that was small. Instead of getting the fullness of the harvest, the promise, yes, it looked so promising, but then there was no dew. And God called for a dew. God called for a drought, rather. Stopped the dew falling from heaven. And God says, consider your ways. Now look at what happened in verse number 12. For we've looked at those verses, and it says, then we have had the why, and we have the therefore, and now we have the then. It says, then Zerubbabel and Joshua with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the voice of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Here's their performance. Haggai was a wise and he was a faithful preacher. But thank God what he said fell on obedient ears. And that's a great thing whenever people not only hear what God has to say, but are willing to obey God. And here we find the response of the people was swift. It was a united response. It was a sermon that was received from God. They believed that this was God speaking to them in love. Yes, God had been moving upon them in chastisement, but God was dealing with them in love. And Zerubbabel, he was the chief governor. Thank God he didn't see himself above and beyond a word from God. Thank God he took this word from God. And he took the rebuke from God. He took the command of God. You know, sometimes God's people rebel at God's rebuke. Sometimes if we are rebuked in the name of the Lord, friend, we instead of listening to what God is saying, we object to it. And we get a hump on our back and we have a rebellious spirit instead of listening to God. Thank God Zerubbabel, he was the governor. He didn't think he was too big for a rebuke from God. He didn't think he was beyond. Now, look at the other person, Joshua. And Joshua, he was the high priest, but here we find he was a man who was a teacher. He was used to teaching, but I want to tell you, he was willing to be taught. And friend, we need to have a teachable spirit. I don't care, from the preacher in the pulpit to the elders in the church to the members of committee, to the Sabbath school teachers, the children's people. Listen, every one of us, right? We may be teaching others, but we need a teachable spirit. And we need to be willing to listen. When God has something to say, this is what it says. Then Zerubbabel, then Joshua, then the remnant of the people, look at verse 12, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. They obeyed. And thank God there was this unity of spirit. There's this unity of heart. Look at verse 13. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You see, they accepted the prophet as being God's messenger. He was simply God's messenger. And they also accepted his message as God's message. It wasn't only God's messenger that they accepted. They accepted the message that God had sent. It says, as, verse 12, as the Lord their God had sent him. They attended to God's messenger. Do you know why? They listened to what God's messenger had to say because they had their eye focused upon the one who had sent him. And then it says they obeyed. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Thank God there was a united obedience. You know, friends, here was a complete people. Just I was thinking about, like, whenever Jonah the prophet preached to Nineveh, the whole city turned to the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if this whole congregation, never mind the whole town of Makrophan, wouldn't it be great today that if every brother and sister left the house of God with one determination, by the grace of God, I'm going to obey God now. God has rebuked me. God has spoken to me. Yes, there are things that need to be put right in my life, but by the grace of God, I'm leaving God's house and I'm going to get them put right. I'm going to put them right. If there's difference between me and my brother in Christ, I'm going to put it right. If there is a disunity among God's people, I'm going to put it right. If I'm not reading the Word of God as I should, I'm going to put it right. If I'm not attending the place of prayer and being amongst God's people, if I have fallen back, as it were, and not putting my shoulder to the wheel, I'm going to, by God's grace, put it right. From this morning forward, in Jesus' name, I'm going to start. It's going to be right. And the Bible says this, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. There was no fracture. There was no disunity. Thank God it says Zerubbabel, the high priest, and the remnant. Notice what it says, with all the remnant of the people. Every one of them stood together. And what did they stand together? In obedience. In other words, obey means to hearken. To heed, to fully intend, to carry out. And you know, friend, that's exactly the very heart of what a Christian is. We are those who are to obey the Lord. We are to trust and obey, for there is no other way, because this obedience is an outward expression of the inward love for Christ. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? He says, if ye love me, he says, keep my commandments. And so therefore, obedience is the outward expression of the inward love. That inward love in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love the Lord, you see, obedience is not some unique characteristic of some Christian. Let me tell you, obedience ought to be the principle of life for every Christian. It's the very principle of life. If you turn over to 1 Peter, and 1 Peter chapter 1, and Paul's writing to those who are redeemed, not with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. This is what he says simply in verse number 14. He says, as obedient children, that's exactly what we are to be. We are to be obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy on all manner of conversation. As obedient children. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and he was reminding them where they had come from and to where they are and what Christ has done for us by his sovereign matchless grace. And that chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. But notice how he described those who are not saved, those who are out of Christ. Look in chapter 2 in the book of Ephesians. Look at the verse number 2. And wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? Disobedience. See? They were children of disobedience. And when we were in ungodly, unsaved, we were children of disobedience. But thank God in Christ, he tells us, 1 Peter chapter 1, as obedient children. Let me ask you this morning, are you obeying God? Are you obeying God in your life? Or are you rebelling against the command of God? Maybe God's saying something to you. God has been directing you. Have you been obedient to him? Are you obeying what God is saying? You know, it's easy to sing, where he sends, we will go. What he says, we will do. Never fear, only trust and obey. That's easy to sing. But are we? Are we obeying God? We read this morning in 1 Kings chapter 17. And in that chapter there, tells a story about a wicked king and a wicked queen, Ahab and Jezebel, and they were ungodly. And then God puts onto the stage a man called Elijah. Just suddenly, Elijah the Tishbite just comes immediately onto the stage in God's story, in God's revelation. God doesn't decorate the past. He just gives it. And verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. And so he speaks to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that's unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thee. Now that seems to be the very opposite of what Elijah's character is. Because he comes onto the scene so forthright, so, you know, determined in the Lord's name, and he steps before the king and he says, King Ahab, I have a message from God for you. I can tell you, Elijah was no coward. He steps onto the scene and he delivers a message of judgment. And he says, you know, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew. Here's God's judgment. And he announces to the mighty king of Israel the judgment of God. He says, there shall not be rain upon the earth. There shall not be dew upon the earth. These years, it's not only a short, notice these years. Let's do courage. And then he said, he didn't try, you know, to get out of it. He says, but according to my word. He linked himself with what God said. He was happy to say, listen, I'm one of God's men. I'm standing with God here. I'm standing on the Lord's line. And this was unpopular, friend, because this was God's judgment. This was God's punishment upon the nation, upon the land. But I notice what he says. He says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. He knew that he had a living God. He had a living God. And thank God, God's alive today. We have a living God. We worship a living Savior today. Thank God he lives. Others go to their tombs of their heroes and even of their gods. And they kneel down before them. Thank God we go to an empty tomb. For thank God the tomb's empty. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. But we have a living and exalted Savior. He lives. And here's Elijah coming into the presence of the king. Says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. And then notice what God says. God says, Elijah, get thee hence, verse 3, and turn thee eastward. You know, God gives him fresh orders. He tells him to go, to turn, and to get out of where he was, And God tells him the direction in which he is to go. And God tells him what he's got to do. He says, go and hide there. Now, a man of courage like Elijah, friend, that seems to be opposite. Why would he hide? I'll tell you why he would hide. Because God told him to hide. That's enough. God, why are you telling me to hide? You know, I'm Elijah. I'm only after coming from the king. I'm only after delivering a message of judgment in your name. And now you say, go and turn away and go and hide. God, that's not me. Are you arguing with God, friend? Are you telling God what you should do and what he should do? Or are you saying, Lord, thou art the master? Thou art in control? Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. We sang the hymn, have thine own way, Lord. Not have mine own way. Have thine own way. And so God says to him, go and hide. But God gave him a promise. He said, you know, I've commanded. There's a little brook there, and God says, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so God gives him a promise. Let me tell you the great thing, and I was saying this to our brother, sister last night. Let me tell you, friend, we as God's children, we're never out of God's care. We're never out of God's care. And even though it seemed to be, here was mighty Elijah, and he was being sent away to a brook to hide. But God says, you can drink of the brook, Elijah. And God says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. We're never out of God's care. You've got care this morning. It says, casting all your care upon him. Why don't you roll it off on him this morning? Young person, maybe you're battling about the future, and you say, well, listen, how could I do this? And I know the young men that have gone into college, they have had to battle these things. How can they do it? Because there's so many things that and responsibilities. This is what God says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You're never out of God's care. God says, I command. Notice, I command, not I'll send the ravens, but he says, I command the ravens to feed thee there. And that's the notice in the little word, to feed thee there. Let me tell you this, had Elijah gone anywhere else, God hadn't commanded the ravens to feed him anywhere else. God says, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there, where I'm sending you. And today God will provide for his will. Don't forget that. God, if you're walking in the center of God's will, God will provide for his will. And I know there are times that we can be filled with anxious care, but I want to tell you, he careth for you. Now look at verse number 5. So he went. And did according unto the word of the Lord. What's that? Obedience. He obeyed. Now it was testing. But he simply obeyed God. He was willing to step out on the promise of God and the command of God and fulfill God's will. He didn't know how it all was going to end. In actual fact, notice it says he went. And he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. That's exactly where God told him to go. In verse number 3, God says, go to the brook Cherith. That's exactly where he went. And verse 6, God fulfilled his promise. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. That's what God told him to do. Verse 4, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And that's exactly what he did. He's not arguing with God. He's just simply obeying God. That's what I want to say to you, brethren and sisters, this morning. Maybe you say, but it's not very clear. Friend, obey. Trust and obey. Take it step by step. Now it says in verse 7, let me move on quickly. It says, it came to pass after a while. the brook dried up. And maybe that's what's happening to you, friend. The brook's drying up. And you can't understand, but God, you sent me to the brook. Yes, he did. He did. And God says, you'll drink of the brook. But God didn't say, you'll drink of the brook to the day you die, did he? Not at all. God says, you drink of the brook. And that's exactly what he did. God was leading him the next step. Because let me tell you, the brook didn't dry up by chance. God's working here. I believe had the brook have kept flowing and the ravens have kept feeding, probably Elijah would have been happy to have stayed there. But God had much more for him to do. God had more work for him to do. And God said, listen, you're not going to hide by the brook. I have got another commission. I have got a command. And the brook dried up after a while, because there was no rain in the land. In verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise. Time to go, Elijah. Get thee to Zarephath. Verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Obedience. That's what it's all about. Obedience. And even though the brook dried up, God had fulfilled his purpose for the brook. And now God was preparing the next step of the journey. And you know, God is much more than this for us to do. And God wants you to do more. God doesn't want you to lie back there at ease, hiding by the brook. But God had wanted him to move on, to do something more. Something more. And God provided for his need. And you could go on down that chapter. And you know, not only was the obedience of Elijah, but there's the obedience of the widow woman of Zarephath. Because whenever Elijah came into the city of Zarephath, there was the woman, as God had said, I have provided a widow woman. I have commanded, says God, a widow woman there to sustain thee. You see, he never was out of God's care. Maybe you think this is all mixed up. Maybe you think that, you know, the plan somehow is getting fuzzy. Let me tell you, friend, God's plan is perfect. And although I can't see it at times, and especially when the mists of life are down and the eyelids are filled with tears because I can't understand and I'm battling, and I can't see through my tears, God's word is true. All things work together for good. You say, preacher, hold on a second. But you're not in my position. How can you look into my face, knowing my circumstance, and how can you say to me, sister, brother, that's what you're going through. That's for good. Let me say this morning. I must say that, because that's God's word. Now, I don't know how God will work it out. And there have been times that I have been there and didn't know how God was going to work it out. But I can tell you, God's way is perfect. What did he say to the disciples? He said, follow me and I will make thee to become fishers of men. Follow me. And brother and sister, I know that for many in this congregation, the road is tough, and for many it's difficult, and for many there is a maze of life at this present moment because of circumstance or because of sickness. But I do know this, that God who is your heavenly Father, has not forgotten you, because you will never be out of his care. You will never be out of his care. I think of Abraham. Have you ever thought of him? God came to Abram one time, Genesis chapter 12, and God said, Abram, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave everything that you know. And he says, I want you to follow me. I want you to go with me. Now he says, I'm not telling you where you're going. You're going with me. You're going on a journey of faith. That's exactly what it was. It was a journey of faith. And every step that he took, friend, he would have to take it by faith, because God, it says in the scriptures, he looked for a city which hath foundation, but he went out not knowing whither he went. All he had for it was God's command. Let me tell you, it wasn't all he had. All he needed was God's command. And the Bible tells us he arose and went. And that must have been a very trying experience. Chapter 12, Genesis. But I want to tell you, an even more trying experience was Genesis 22. Because that one day God spoke to him, and God had given him a lovely wee son. And had grown up into a teenager, a lovely young man. And God had said, in thy seed, Abram, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And God said to him, I've given you this son. And God gave Abram's wife this child in her old age. And it just seemed to have him was perfect. And then one day God speaks to Abram and he says, Abram, I want you to go to that mountain up there, Mount Moriah. And I want you to take your son. Well, that's good, God. Because I'll gladly go to the mountain and sacrifice on the top of the mountain with my son. I have no doubt that's what Abram thought. I'd gladly go with my son. Sacrifice. But this is what God said. Abram, the sacrifice is your son. I tell you, that must have been a very trying experience in Abram's life. Very quickly turn to Genesis chapter 22. Because God says, go to that mount. Came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abram. So that's what's happening, brother, sister. God's testing you. Said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am, Lord. Yes, he was happy to answer when God spoke. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Abram doted on that son. Thine only son Isaac. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 3. And Abram rose up early in the morning, saddle his ass. There's obedience. Oh, he knew what God had said to him. He wasn't in any doubt what God had said, but he believed that God had promised. He didn't know how it all was going to work out, but God had promised that in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He knew God wouldn't fail his promise. Do you think that God's going to fail his promise this morning? The promises of God, they're yea and amen to us who are in Christ Jesus. There's no misunderstanding what God was saying to Abram. He knew exactly. And I've often thought as they walked up, verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abram his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son, and he said, behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb? I don't want to sacrifice, father. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And they went, both of them, together. They came to the place which God had told him off, and Abram built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, saying, Abram, Abram. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God and seest. Thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Friend, Abram bound his son. Must have broke his heart. But I'll tell you, he was willing to obey God no matter what it cost. You see, friend, it's so easy to say these things, it's different to walk them. But we must obey. Pay thy vow unto the Lord. We sing the hymn, go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay, the Holy Ghost will do the rest. And he'll give to thee God's very best. We're leaving God's house this morning. And there's not one of us in this house of God know what this week holds for any one of us. But this I know, that I will never be out of his love or out of his care. He careth for you. And they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. May God help you to obey him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we think of the words of the hymn, I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, go with thy people this week. We pray for those, our God, that face a high hill to climb or a deep valley to descend into. We thank you, Lord, that they'll never walk alone, for thou will be with them. We pray that you'll give us courage today to go forward and claim ground in the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us not to rebel or be angry at thy will, but help us to surrender. Help us, our God, to be obedient.
is the remnant was rebuked, but they bowed in obedience. Maybe there are things in our lives today, Lord, you're rebuking us, and maybe today you're disciplining us. But Lord, you're loving us. Jesus loves me, this I know. We're never out of your love. Never out of your care. Bless your people. Remember those that are not saved. They face trials this week, and yet they have no anchor, no hope, no refuge, no haven, no Savior. Please, God, save them. Bring them to yourself. And in all things this day, have all the glory. In Jesus' name.